Prepare to have your health questions answered here on Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley, owner of Binkley Healing Center in downtown Ventura. Now, here's Dr. Todd.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley, board-certified doctor of non-force chiropractic and practitioner of functional medicine. Functional medicine means using diagnostic tests to identify conditions early enough that you can usually reverse them and heal your body with better food, exercise, and supplements so that you don't become dependent on drugs and other complicated and potentially dangerous medical procedures. The subject of today's talk is going to be breast cancer prevention. Every fall, we hear all about raising money for more early detection of breast cancer that you already have and raising money for more drugs to treat cancer that you already have. And so that always makes me think, wouldn't it be better if we could prevent cancer from forming in the first place? Well, there are lots of ways, some of which are well known and many others which are not so well known, that you can dramatically reduce your risk of getting breast cancer. Before we dive into that, I just want to say thank you for tuning in, everyone who's listening now. It's been just over a year that this show has been on 98.3 FM every Friday afternoon, and the response to it has been fantastic, with so many people calling and contacting and coming in and sending in questions. So please keep those emails coming. There are no bad questions. If you have a question about something, there are probably 100 other people out there listening who have the same question or a similar question. So you're doing them a favor by asking your question. And who knows, it could become the subject of an entire show. I'm always looking for new ideas to present and new conditions to cover. So please let me know what you're most interested in. Every October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, of course, and so I get a lot of questions about many aspects of that. Have this month is no exception this past month, so I prepared a talk on breast cancer prevention because so much of the conversation is always about early detection and finding more treatments for cancer that you already have, but wouldn't it be nice to stop the cancer before it starts? Well, there's no guarantees. There's no way to guarantee that you're never going to get cancer because there's just too many factors that can contribute to it. But there are many, many ways that a lot of people don't know about to dramatically reduce your risk of ever getting cancer in the first place. And most doctors never even consider. Most doctors focus on early detection and then wait until something is bad enough to justify the risks of big guns like chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. And if you do end up getting cancer, the medical standards of care usually mean that you get the same treatment everyone else gets. But you are as different on the inside as you are on the outside. And restoration of health requires personalized care. On the plus side, survival rates for breast cancer are better than ever due to earlier detection and better conventional treatments in large part. But 13% of American women will develop cancer in their lifetimes, and that percentage is going up. It used to be 10%. It's every year, the percentage of women getting newly diagnosed with cancer goes up. So it's important to understand that early detection is not prevention. How can you stop cancer before it shows up? Well, number one, identify your risk factors. Number two, get better testing. And number three, take better care of your health. So risk factors, a good place to see the known risk factors, some of which people are familiar with, is breastcancer.org. That website shows that you have, for example, increased risk if you're over 55. Two-thirds of invasive cancers occur, are diagnosed in women over 55. If you have a family history, a sister or a mother or a daughter who has breast cancer, it's dramatically increased risk. Genetics is always a factor in many cancers. 5 to 10% of breast cancers are now considered to be hereditary. Radiation exposure. So radiation exposure, especially to the face or the chest, especially in a younger woman. If you're under 30, that dramatically increases your risk of getting breast cancer later. But also just being overweight increases your risk of developing breast cancer. Lack of exercise, drinking alcohol, and smoking. These are all known risk factors for getting breast cancers. Decreased risk of breast cancer occurs if you give birth before the age of 30, and women who breastfeed have a lower risk of breast cancer. But you can also do other tests. So if you've known somebody in your family or your personal life who's had breast cancer and gotten standard treatment, you might have heard about how after they make it through chemotherapy and radiation or surgery or whatever treatment they end up getting, after they're finished with that, they go back 6 months later, a year later, 3 months later, something, some kind of regular scheduled appointment to get follow-up blood testing to see if the cancer's coming back. These blood tests are called tumor markers. Tumor markers with names like CA15.3, CA19.9, CA125, CEAAFP. Doesn't really matter that you don't have to worry about what those complicated names mean. The point is that these are things that measure cancer-fighting activity in your body taking place with your immune system's attempt to fight off and destroy cancer-causing cells. Have you ever heard that your body is fighting off cancer-causing cells from the day you're born? It is true, and this is one of the ways that we know that, and we can measure that activity, your immune system's attempts to identify and destroy cancer-causing cells results in these markers in the blood becoming elevated. And if they're elevated after you've had treatment for cancer, then that can show that the cancer is returning before it gets big enough to show up on a scan. That's why they do the blood test. So these blood tests aren't used to diagnose cancer. They are used to measure cancer-fighting activity. Your immune system, is it having a normal level of cancer-fighting activity? Are these tests really low, therefore fine? Or are they elevated? So you can see if the cancer's coming back on a blood test often before you can see it, usually before you can see it return on any kind of scan. And so that's why oncologists use those tests. But anyone can have those tumor markers tested now, not to diagnose cancer, but to see if your immune system has some cause, something that's causing it to fight to produce these tumor markers, to represent cancer-fighting activity. Any elevation in these tumor markers is representative of some kind of pathological condition. It's never good to have these things elevated. And if they are elevated, you can use them as a benchmark and use better food, exercise, and supplements to reduce them and reduce your risk of the cancer forming in the first place. So there are also a number of toxins that cause the genetic mutations that cause cancer to start, such as chemicals in the air and water, heavy metals, plastics, antibiotics in certain that are fed in foods that we eat, beef and chicken, hair dyes and hair straighteners, cosmetics, sunscreen, chemicals that are used in farming, pesticides and fertilizers, mold toxins. And, a lot of, chemicals are just in the food and air and the water that we drink. They're just unavoidable. So there are ways to test for these things to see if you have a body burden of them that warrants being more proactive and doing something to gently and safely flush those things out. Doing this can reduce your risk of getting breast cancer and other cancers. And there's tests that document whether or not you have an increased burden of these, and then follow-up testing to show that you are reducing your burden of those toxins in your body. And then thirdly, just general health screening. So inflammation, heart disease, diabetes, liver, kidneys, digestive system, and immune system function are the things that I test on everyone when they come for a general health screening. Do a comprehensive blood panel to see if every part of your body is working normally. And when that is the case, when all of these things are working better, you are at lower risk of getting cancer. So taking better care of your overall health, all of the following things dramatically reduce your risk of cancer and have data behind them to support it. Exercise 35 to 40 minutes a day for 5 days a week. Eat mostly vegetables, healthy fats and protein. Drink plenty of clean water. Get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Maintain a healthy weight. Limit alcohol use to one serving per day. So this isn't essential for everything, but it is widely known now that for women, drinking more than one serving of alcohol per day does increase your risk of breast cancer. So flush out the toxins that we just talked about, optimize your immune system function, and identify and supplement essential nutrients that are missing. Far and away, the most important nutrient that so many people do not have enough of to keep themselves healthy is vitamin D. And vitamin D dramatically reduces your risk of breast cancer if you get adequate amounts. And most people don't. How do we know that? By testing their blood levels of vitamin D. So sun exposure does not reduce your risk of breast cancer unless you combine it with vitamin D supplements. This is from a study that came out in the journal Environment International in January of 2022. And the reason is because most people just do not get enough sun exposure to significantly alter their vitamin D levels. People think if I'm outside, you know, we're supposed to, our bodies are supposed to make vitamin D in the skin, and our bodies do make vitamin D in the skin, but just not enough to optimize your immune system function and get that benefit of reducing your risk of many, many types of cancers, breast cancer among them. Because if you're just out in, you know, with short sleeves and short pants, there's not enough surface area. If you sunbathe with your torso exposed, basically naked or in a bikini, 20 minutes a day, a white person, 20 minutes a day, three times a week in the summer in Southern California, say from June to August in a part of Southern California that isn't foggy like it is in Ventura, then you might make enough vitamin D to have a healthy blood level of between 50 and 90. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because there's a difference between what's considered normal medically and what is now known to be the healthy level of vitamin D in the bloodstream that will keep your immune system strong. So, you know, 20 minutes a day, three times a week or more if your skin is darker in the summer with no clothes covering most of your skin and no sunscreen on. So no one does that, you know, and most of the time, if you're going to be out in the sun for very long, you should put sunscreen on too, so you don't get skin cancer, obviously. So it's just there's a lot of reasons that it's just very difficult to get adequate vitamin D to keep your immune system strong and reduce your risk of breast cancer from the sun. You have to supplement. So you hear about studies, maybe you've read, you know, you hear about studies that come out in the news all the time. One says that vitamin D works for this, and another one that it doesn't work for that. And most of the studies that are done are poorly designed from the outset. They use ineffectual doses. Even in a lot of medical journals, you know, there are some excellent studies out there if you know how to find them. But if you don't look for them, you probably won't find them. And so there's many, many studies that say that vitamin D doesn't work for this and that because they just don't use enough. And therefore, a lot of doctors and patients think that they're fine. Well, that's just egregious, especially for doctors who have a responsibility, I think, to educate their patients, because for 20 years, data like this has been out. Here's a study that came out in the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology in 2007. Vitamin D level of over 50 reduces your breast cancer risk by 50%. Have you ever heard that before? Anybody? This is huge. Having a serum vitamin D level when you do your blood test, having a blood level of 52, just over 50, reduces your breast cancer risk by 50%. This has been known for years. Well, guess what? An even newer study in the journal Nutrients that just came out in March of this year showed that you reduce your risk of breast cancer by 80% with a serum vitamin D level of 60 compared to people who only have a vitamin D level of 20. So guess what? Most people's blood level of vitamin D is, if they're not supplementing vitamin D, 5,000 units a day. Even if you're taking a multivitamin with the paltry U.S. recommended daily allowance of 400 units a day, your blood level is usually less than 20, almost always less than 30, and often, you know, even down in the teens. And that's, you know, a level of 30 is considered enough to keep your bones from collapsing, but it is not going to keep your immune system strong. The healthy range for vitamin D to keep your immune system strong is 50 to 90. And most doctors will never tell you that. And no one gets their blood up to that level without supplementing vitamin D. Usually 5,000 units a day for most people is what it takes to get it up to that range and keep it there. If you're a thin woman under 120 pounds, 4,000 might be enough. But even children over 60 or 70 pounds can take 5,000 units a day. These 1,000 and 2,000 unit capsules that you see for sale in stores, those are for children. The average daily dose, if you want to keep your immune system healthy, is 5,000 units of vitamin D per day for most people. And then you can achieve these reduced risk. I'm going to say it again, 80% lower risk if you get your vitamin D level up to 60 versus 20. This is a study that came out this year. So most people test below 20 if they're not taking vitamin D supplements. I'm Dr. Todd Binkley. You're listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions to Almost Any Health Challenge. We're talking about, is it possible to prevent breast cancer before it starts? Early detection and funding for new treatments for people who unfortunately get breast cancer is obviously very important, but wouldn't it be nice if you could prevent it? So here's a case study. A 47-year-old woman came to me who woke up one morning with a grape-sized mass in her left breast, and a few days later it had tripled in size, about the size of a jalapeno. So she went to her oncologist, who recommended immediate surgery to cut it out, because if you're over 40 and you have a mass that size, that is the standard recommendation. And unfortunately, medical standards of care mean that you get the same treatment as everybody else. Well, this woman chose not to get the surgery, and I put her on a high dose of vitamin D, iodine, and fish oil. So iodine is super important for breast tissue. A lot of people are familiar with its importance in the thyroid, making thyroid hormone, but there's actually a greater need for iodine for healthy breast tissue simply because the breasts are much larger than the thyroid, and a lot of people are deficient in iodine as well. And then fish oil helps with inflammation and a whole host of other things. So high-dose vitamin D, iodine, and fish oil this 47-year-old woman took, and 3 weeks later, the jalapeno-sized mass in her breast disappeared. And it never came back. And that was over 10 years ago. And the reason that that happened is because she didn't have cancer. She had a cyst. The technical term is a fibroadenoma. A fibroadenoma is a relatively common cyst that can form in the breast. And if you're over 40, they recommend cutting them out because they can become cancerous, but they also often don't. And it is often possible to reduce them with high-dose nutrients. So one of the takeaways from this case that I hope that you'll remember is that a recent cancer diagnosis is almost never an emergency. Even if you get told that you have to have chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, months often pass before you even get scheduled for that procedure. So you have time to come in and try something, to get some blood tests like I've been talking about, identify some nutrient deficiencies, and flood your body with nutrients to help it heal itself better, and then retest in a couple of weeks or a month. There's often time, and sometimes in as little as 2 weeks, we can retest those same tumor markers and other tests of nutrient deficiencies, inflammation, and signs of stress on your body that are associated with most cancers, and see if the numbers are heading in the right direction. See if you're starting to get improvement. And then you can make a more educated decision about whether or not you need chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery immediately. And you take that information back to your, I always encourage you to take the information you get from my tests back to your other doctor and discuss that with them. And just make an informed decision, whichever route you end up taking. So I do see patients who have cancer relatively frequently, but I don't treat cancer. I'm not an oncologist. Instead, I optimize their immune system function. Patients who come to me often have come to me because they've just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and they come specifically for that, but they might just be coming because they have neck or back pain and they also have breast cancer. So I'm going to help them optimize their immune system function, identify and restore nutrient deficiencies like vitamin D and a whole host of other things, protein deficiency, make sure they don't have anemia, also really common in cancer patients. If you start out in any recent diagnosis with low protein and anemia, really common in any kind of cancer, it can be very difficult to get those things back up. So the earlier you identify low protein, for example, and any form of anemia, which I see all the time in people who think they're healthy, and you can fix those, then you're going to be going to have a much better recovery from any type of cancer. So I can also help reduce and treat the side effects of chemo, radiation, and surgery with nutrients. I'm not going to stop your hair from falling out when you get chemo, for example, but some of the pain associated with it, the vascular complications. A lot of people who end up eventually, unfortunately, dying from cancer don't die necessarily from the cancer, but from a heart attack or a stroke, because the treatments for cancer dramatically increase your risk of heart attacks and strokes because of the vascular inflammation that they cause. And so these are things that can be reduced with better nutrients. And then the side effects of the treatments themselves, neuropathy, burning, numbness, and tingling and pain down the arms and legs and into the feet, profound fatigue and brain fog. These are really common after you've gone through any kind of gauntlet for treating cancer. So many people report having these things, and they can be severely debilitating, and they often don't really get any effective treatment for these things. They'll give you medication to help reduce the nausea, but many people come in with these lingering symptoms that the medical profession often just doesn't have any answers for. So let's talk about some specifics. What are these cancer support nutrients I'm talking about? Well, actually, before I dive into this list, I think it helps to think about this. Think of your bloodstream as a river of life. And you've got construction crews waiting on both banks of the river that are there to heal and repair. They've got a job list. They've got a bunch of projects that need fixing. But if the raw materials that they need to do that job aren't available, then that job just gets put on hold indefinitely. So you've got construction crews on both banks of the river, your river of life, your bloodstream. And if you keep adequate amounts of the nutrients that your body needs to heal and repair all of the things that end up needing routine maintenance, there's a lot of them, then those projects do get taken care of. That construction project will get completed. Your body will heal and repair that tissue and reduce your risk of a whole host of diseases. So specifically with cancer, some of the most common nutrients, there's overlap between the nutrients required to maintain general health and to specifically reduce your risk of side effects from chemo and radiation and surgery and optimize your immune system to give you a fighting chance to fight off the cancer. But so for example, just vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, systemic enzymes, betaine hydrochloric acid. This is your stomach makes hydrochloric acid. And if you lack sufficient hydrochloric acid in your stomach, then it makes it very difficult to absorb the protein you're eating. So having protein deficiency when you're going through a bout with cancer is critically important because most of your cells are made of protein. Protein is the basic building block for almost all of your cells. And it is very, very common for people to end up protein deficient. So if you identify that, and maybe you're eating adequate protein, maybe you're not eating enough. Some people don't eat enough protein, especially oftentimes vegetarians and vegans. Sometimes they do, but you don't know unless you get tested. But I see it all the time where people are eating plenty of chicken and fish or beef or, you know, whatever kind of protein, eggs is an excellent source of protein for breakfast. People know, or I help them figure out, that they're eating plenty of protein but still shows up deficient on their blood tests. And the most common reason for that is insufficient hydrochloric acid in the stomach. So if your stomach isn't producing adequate amounts and that does show up low on your blood tests, then we can fix that by supplementing betaine hydrochloric acid. It's just a capsule that you take that gives you sufficient acid to assimilate the protein better. And then we retest to make sure that you're having adequate protein in your bloodstream again. Glutathione support is critically important for cancer patients. It's an essential nutrient. The glutathione is the master antioxidant. So it's really important for detoxifying things that could be contributing to getting cancer in the first place. Also detoxifying some of the effects of the medications that you have to take sometimes when you're going through cancer treatment, and just to maximize your immune system function and your liver function. So glutathione is the master antioxidant. It is possible you can buy supplements of glutathione, but they often don't work as well as just supporting your body's ability to make glutathione on its own. So your body makes glutathione from three amino acids called cysteine, glutamate, and glycine. Well, you can get plenty of glutamate and glycine from food and routinely do. The missing link, the rate-limiting nutrient that people often don't get enough of to make adequate glutathione is cysteine. And there are a number of ways to get more cysteine into your system so that you can make adequate amounts of glutathione, but we're about to run out of time this week, so we will continue this discussion next week on how to prevent cancer by flooding your river of life, your bloodstream, with the nutrients your body needs to better heal and repair itself. Send in your questions for me if you have any more questions about breast cancer or any other type of cancer, or how you can reduce your risk and optimize your immune system function to give your body a fighting chance. Please send me those questions at BinkleyHealingCenter.com and listen to past episodes of this show on my website, BinkleyHealingCenter.com. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to speaking with you right here again next Friday at 2 p.m. on 98.3 FM. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions with Dr. Todd Binkley. If you have a health question you want discussed on the show, email your health questions to Dr. Binkley at binkleyhealingcenter.com. Take advantage of this opportunity to ask questions for yourself and for your loved ones, because our health matters. Join him next Friday at 4 p.m. for Safe, Effective, Natural Solutions, right here on 98.3 The Word, KDAR.